Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah. We are talking sports. 12 man. The January is going. We had a fantastic championship weekend here, having some fun with that. So it's a tough weekend. There's going to be people that are happy. Some people are going to be sad. We'll get to that. Gary has been a great sport. Talk about how he's going to change the boys. But before we do that, shout out around the room. I mean, how you feeling, JQ? I mean, obviously, we have an idea, but how you feeling, sir?
Fantastic. Fantastic. You know how I feel. But no, I was rooting for the Cowboys for sure. Dak, I'll let Gary talk about it. But I'm feeling pretty good. Another week surviving in advance, and we got a tough road in Kansas City. What's crazy is the boss of my company walked past my office, and I've got my, Cincinnati flags behind my desk hung up. He says, "Are you going to the game?" I said, "No." "Are you going to send me to the game? You going to sponsor me? Because if you ain't buying my ticket and get my hotel room, then no, I'm watching the house like you." So, no. But, yeah, I'm excited about it. It is what it is. We got a hard game coming up, and I'm excited to see it.
We'll talk about that, too. We got a lot of things. I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel the Cincinnati need to be. So this is the year, man. But, again, let's check in with Rob. How are you doing, Rob?
Hey, doing great. Good to have another talk to Sports for the 12th Man show on tonight. So good to be with the fellas again. Hope you guys are doing well. And JQ, both of your football teams in the Final Four. That's a great accomplishment.
Hey, let's go.
Gary, it's on you, my friend.
Hopefully the Bengals have a better result than the Buckeyes in the Final Four.
Yeah. I know, right?
Well, I'll tell you what. It was a rough day. I had my heart ripped out with the Cowboys and how they played, not defensively but offensively, and I'll get into that later. But after that, I thought I was going to salvage everything with the Blazers playing. And we were up by 24 at half. They shifted it in the second half.
Let's go, Gary.
When we lost.
Yeah. We lose tonight, dog. It makes you feel any better.
For the rival Lakers.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's not a rivalry.
It's only a rivalry in Portland's mind. That's not a real rivalry. Let's stop that. You have to win on both sides for it to be a rivalry. You understand?
Ooh.
Well, your record in Portland is not that great, by the way, for the Lakers. Just thought I'd let you know that. As a matter of fact, Kobe Bryant in his career only won 7 times in Portland in the regular season. In his career.
Wow.
To think that is not a rivalry, it's a rivalry.
It's not a rivalry if you don't win.
Wow. Okay. I feel the exchange going back and forth, but you love the juices. The energy is flowing. We are ready to get this talking sports going. I love it. I love it. I love it. Here we go.
Here we go.
Really quickly, 404. 424-243-9519. Reach out to you boys. Follow us on Twitter. At the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, Facebook, Lapscat, Fox Sports for 12, man. So, Gary, you're about to be on, man. We're going to talk about Dak Prescott, Cowboys that fell short. What is next for the Cowboys?
Well, first of all, let's talk about the game. The game gave us hope up until the last little bit. And that last play was deep at center. I don't know what the hell that was all about. But with that said, the defense played good enough not only to win the game, but they played good enough to carry a team to the Super Bowl. That's how good that defense played against that Niner defense. I was very happy with the defense. As far as what's next with the Cowboys, better be a hell of a lot. I'd like to see him do something like what the Rams did. Go all in and actually win something. Because we're tired, you know, we're losing. We're used to that now in the playoffs. So now let's go all in and let's try and get something out of it. First thing I'd like to see is offensive line help. Another wide receiver, a defensive tackle. I'd like to see him trade Dak Prescott.
Whoa.
And get one of these young quarterbacks.
Wait,
what?
I'd
like to see him cut his,
whoa.
And cut Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, he though. He's done. You gonna trade Dak Prescott?
Depending on what we could get for him, I don't know what we could get for him, but if we could get a decent enough draft pick, hell yes, trade him. Trade him. And cut Zeke. What's that?
The Saints can trade y'all a third-round pick and bring him back to Louisiana.
You don't want Dak in New Orleans. You're just going to trade Gary's arguments for your arguments. Stop it. Go ahead, Gary.
I would absolutely love that. And then we bring in our new coach, Peyton. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Get rid of, as Curtis would say, McCartney. He said,
wow.
I'm tired of that Coach McCartney.
He ain't
wow.
The problem. Coach McCartney didn't throw two picks.
Wow, he's going to cost two picks. Yeah, that's great.
I don't think McCarthy is a problem either, to be honest with you. I mean,
only in this game he wasn't the problem.
McCarthy kept that team afloat, man, when Dak Prescott was down and they had Cooper Rush in there and it went with 4-1 or 5-1 or something like that. So I definitely don't think McCarthy's a problem, in my opinion. Shucks, he's won just as many Super Bowls as Sean Payton. One. It's arguably Sean Payton underachieved with New Orleans. He had Drew Brees follow his years and only won one Super Bowl.
Same difference.
Exactly. But keep in mind that Sean Payton was in New Orleans with Drew Brees a lot more years than McCarthy was with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead,
Rob. Are you good, Gary? Are you good, Gary?
Yeah, okay, Rob. Your assessment in that game, what was the problem?
Well, obviously the turnovers, right? You start with that. You know, the Dak Prescott 2-0 interception. To me, that's the number one problem in the game. They turn over the ball, and you got to block extra points. To me, those are the main issues in the game. Then the second half, as good as the Cowboys defense played, they couldn't stop the 49ers run in the second half. And the offense of the Cowboys wasn't helping out the defense. And that zone blocking team of San Francisco, they just got it going in the second half. They were running the ball with Elijah Mitchell and Christian McCaffrey. So they definitely got the running game going in the second half. And they were eating up clock. I mean, they were eating up a ton of clock in that second half. So they did eventually wear the Cowboys' defense down. And that's mainly because the Cowboys' offense wasn't helping them out. So I think the turnover was obviously the number one reason. The number two reason was they couldn't stop the run game in the second half.
So I agree with both of y'all for the most part with the turnovers with Dak. And I saw a breakdown of it on that play where he missed CeeDee Lamb with Fred Warner drops him back in coverage, and T.Y. Hilton was butt-naked open. And part
wide
of that
open.
is on Dak. But I think the other piece of it is losing Tony Pollard when Zeke Elliott is a show of himself was a death nail. When you have CeeDee Lamb, Tony Pollard is your second-best player. And when he got hurt in that first half and you down him, that really limits what you can do. For Dallas. So Dallas has got to get a little bit more playmaking on the outside. CeeDee Lamb, I think, is going to be good, but he needs some help. The problem is they traded Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I like T.Y. with Noah Brown, but they're 3-4. So they got to get a solid number two now. They have one, but they wanted CeeDee to be the unequivocal number one and not have him bounce Amari Cooper for that one versus two kind of role. But they would have really loved to have Amari Cooper in that ball game. But, again, I think a lot of it comes down to that Dak Prescott just, you know, he wows you some games, and then he comes back and he does stuff, and you're like, come on, Dak, what are you doing? What kind of throw is that?
Yeah.
And all of those picks are always to the outside. Not all of them, but the most of them, to me, feel like they're on the
number,
on the head, to the sideline, to where he makes a mistake and he's trying to throw it across the field or to the sideline, and he gets a pick. And a dude just jumps the route, and they get him. And dudes are jumping routes on Dak. And he's got to find a way to, you know, dig deep and look at film and get a better game plan for what he's seeing on the field and to marry to what the game plan is. Because he gets jumped a lot on those outside routes. So Dak has got to live with that. The fact that Jerry Jones allowed the Dallas Twitter account to put the game on Dak with his two turnovers and nobody checked him, there's a lot about what Dallas feels about that.
Yep. That blew me away when Dallas Cowboys Twitter account did.
Yeah.
that was very unprofessional. Bad if Dak Prescott played that.
I was happy with that. I was totally happy with that. Absolutely.
It's shocking, though. When nobody else
you don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
You do not do that. I mean, I'm sorry. Bad if he played in the game. You don't sign off on that being posted on your Twitter account. I mean, that's totally unacceptable by the Dallas.
No, that's totally fine.
Whoever put that out there, it's one thing for the news media to put it out there,
Gary's in still,
but not the Twitter account.
That's wow. That doesn't happen.
No, that is absolutely. Because you know what? They hit the nail on the head.
Even if it's true, most teams will protect their franchise quarterback.
True.
I understand that, and I agree. But most teams will protect their franchise quarterback from that being something that we put out as a sanctioned site of the team. The fact that Dallas is still up, that Dallas allowed that to happen, Jerry Jones controls everything in that organization. I don't know if he was trying to needle Dak, trying to get him motivated, whatever he was trying to do to get him going. That's wild. Most teams just don't allow that to happen. I'm not saying it wasn't true. But most teams won't allow you to point out your starting quarterback because your QB is the face of your franchise. And a lot of that to happen to your starting quarterback is wild.
Well, Jerry Jones probably signed off on it because he was right there watching those out routes, knowing that he's shit in the bed, you know, I'm totally fine with that. If you don't want that sort of thing, written about you, then guess what? Buck up and play that game where you don't get that.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong in terms of the analysis of the game. I'm saying that most teams won't allow their Twitter feed to blame the quarterback and their analysis of the game on Twitter for everybody to consume. Yeah. Like, it's two different things. Yeah. Like, you can, both things can be
any easy. Player for
you
that matter, let alone the quarterback. Most
yeah.
teams wouldn't
well,
do that to the quarterback on the organization.
And this isn't really that
yeah.
unusual for Jerry Jones either to allow that sort of negativity on his account, because back when Skip Bayless was, you know, writing about the team, he did that on a regular basis, and it was totally allowed by Jerry Jones without any rebuke. And he said, well, even Skip Bayless even talked about that on his show, that there were times when he said, yeah, you know, they allowed it, you know, and because it was true. And in this case, with this team, you just won a big game on the road. You're in the game. Your defensive play has played well enough for you to win and has given you opportunities to win the game. So it's got to fall right. It's got to fall right there where it fell. And that's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
I'm waiting. Naj has been patiently waiting. Naj to join the call. What's going on, Naj? How are you, bro?
Hey, man, what's up, y'all? I'm cooling, man. I definitely didn't want to interrupt, man. You know what I mean? You got to let people get their thoughts and prayers out and all the sadness out of there. Rough season. Should not be a surprise. But look, I think all of y'all made great points on this, though. A bunch of the points I was going to say, y'all already said, so I kind of got to flip it a little bit. But ultimately, this is in the hands of Dakota and the person who's not getting talked about enough, Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore was talked about as this innovative offensive, play caller and this guy who's really good at design and getting people open and stuff. Dude, Kellen Moore is not good. He's an average at best or just a run-of-the-mill OC at this point. Like, when you look at that game plan, like, we all knew this game would be tight. Both defenses are really good. The 49ers, I would say, probably a little better. Both defenses are really good. But ultimately, I didn't see any layup throws to anybody. I just saw CeeDee having a win all day, and then everybody else. Look, I definitely want to hear your opinion on Michael Gallup, who I consider just a guy. They, you know, gave him that contract and kind of hyped him up like he's going to be this great speed guy and great number two receiver. He just looks like a regular run-of-the-mill receiver out there. And T.Y. Hilton, hell, you just signed him off the street a couple weeks ago, so I can't say nothing about T.Y. But, yeah, Dak forcing throws.
He was wide open in the middle of the field.
Once he gets under pressure. Yeah, but the pre-snap reader, I got CD on a linebacker, so I'm going to see.
No.
I can't knock him for that one. That's pre-snap read
did
stuff.
He
got
the
double-covered.
Did you see Dan Orlovsky? Wait, hold on, y'all. Did you see Dan Orlovsky cover that play on NFL Live?
Yeah, yeah.
Where he talked about
it.
Listen,
yeah. And I
all
think
that
just,
space wide open. If you are Dak Prescott and I'm paying you that kind of money, you have to be able to see that. Dudes, 9 out of 10 times, all the dudes that are on the line of scrimmage acting like they're going to pressure, if it's three of them, only one of them is coming. The other two are dropping off or doing something different. Every quarterback at this point pretty much knows it. You've got to be able to do that. I'm paying you too much money for you to do film study and understand that. That's a touchdown.
Stevie
that
Wonder would have completed
that game.
That's Monday morning quarterback stuff. In the midst of the play,
it's not.
Pre-snap, when you get the matchup you want, which is CD on a linebacker, and you make the decision, okay, I'm going to get it to him. I know CD's going to win this. But your ball placement was off.
Come on,
Nas.
Stevie Wonder would have completed that pass.
Yeah, that sounds good after the play. It does it. In real time, that's not real, man. What Dan Orlovsky is doing is kind of shady. Like, you can do that to every quarterback, damn near on every play, and it would be trash because it has nothing to do with what he's reading at the time, what he had pre-snap, and what matchup he actually wanted. And we know he wanted that CD on the linebacker.
So,
but let me finish my points on the Cowboys.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Cause,
go ahead.
Because we just going to disagree on that, brother. It's all good.
Yeah, that's
but
fine.
Yeah. Dakota was bad. He wasn't a difference maker. He didn't take the rushing lanes, which were going to be there when you're playing the 49ers. You have to make them pay for some of those empty lanes. And he chose not to do it. I think he ran three times for the whole game. It's like, dude, this is the game where you need to pick up chunk yardage because every first down is going to matter. Field position is going to matter. Then the Mars situation.
Yeah,
look, dog. I would have signed a kicker off the street and had him suited up for the game. I would not have marched Mar out there.
They had competition in there, though. They did sign somebody.
You created tension and anxiety for no reason. Like, you didn't have to have that tension and anxiety. But then lastly, the social media thing, every social media – dude, we've seen social media accounts where the person gets fired because they said something out of turn and the team fires them. It seems like Jerry became aware of this, and because he's defiant, he's not going to let the mob tell him who to fire. When in all reality, it's like, dude, that's just unprofessional. They should have fired that dude. Like, you don't criticize a singular player on your team's social media feed. The media talking about the
that
guy?
That was okayed by Jerry Jones.
That's their job.
Anytime that stuff goes out, that's okayed by Jerry Jones. So why are you going to fire somebody if you're giving him the okay?
Yeah, but you're making that assumption. I'm making the assumption that Jerry ain't as sharp as some of y'all think he is, and that Jerry gets some of this information afterwards and then tries to be the big man. Yeah, I told him. And I don't believe that, man. I don't think Jerry is as involved in the day-to-day as we normally expect. Jerry's getting old, man.
I don't know if I can go with that one.
Sounds good.
He's a narcissist. I
think he's very
being
much
able to keep up
to his veteran.
That's what I'm saying.
The football people run the organization. I think that's been a problem for the Cowboys for a long time. But no, Jerry Jones is still very much involved in the day-to-day operations of that team.
So do you think during a playoff
part
run,
of the reasons why
Twitter,
they haven't
the Twitter account is the day-to-day?
Years.
Like, come on, bro. Do y'all really think a Twitter
with
account
the Cowboys,
is part of the day-to-day
absolutely.
In a playoff season? Nah,
man. Okay, so here's what I say to you about that. It's Tuesday. That game happened on
Tuesday. Like I said, that's where we get into the Jerry won't back down. You ain't going to tell me who the fuck. Now, that's where I agree with y'all.
Wow.
Well, if he was so mad about it and thought it was wrong, he would have taken it down and fired him, and he wouldn't have canceled his radio show appearance. And the first thing about on a radio show appearance would have been, hey, I would never say that about Dakota Rain Prescott. I would come out there and say, that's my guy. I would never do that. You know I'm telling you the truth. If he didn't feel that way, he would not have canceled that radio show. It might not have been a whole hour, but he would have done enough to get on that radio show to say, hey, that dude is fired. That's not what we believe. Dak is our quarterback going forward. The tweet is still up, and he canceled his radio show.
JQ, how long do you think they had to talk to Jerry to get him to cancel that appearance on the radio show?
But you know, Jerry,
they probably had to talk him out.
But if you know if he felt like that for real, he would have gotten there for 10 minutes, said that, hung the hell up, and walked away because he's Jerry effing Jones and he don't care. And you know that I'm right. So he's 100% behind
Steven
that.
Steven was in there begging him not to do that show, man. Let's talk to
him. Hey, this is sending a clear message to Dak Prescott. Hey, you know, Jerry Jones didn't want to pay him initially. I mean, it took a long time for him to agree to a contract. So you got to wonder what's the Cowboys' thought process behind Dak Prescott and his future with the Cowboys. After that tweet, we know Jerry Jones struggled to give him the contract extension. So, I mean, this is going to be another situation to play out. You got to watch the Aaron Rodgers situation in Green Bay. You got to watch the Dak Prescott situation in Dallas here. So I think this is going to be really interesting.
I don't think
that's what the 49ers are going to do. With one, 49ers
he told
are going to
that
one of those
dude,
quarterbacks for sure.
He told that dude at the press conference when he paid him, hey, man, yeah, you got me. I overpaid you at the press conference to introduce the new contract. He told him the same time they introduced him on the new contract. Yeah, you got me the contract negotiations. I overpaid you. So, you know, he already feels some kind of way about it. Jerry Jones.
That's when you're dealing with a hustler. When he signed you for a deal, he said, "Oh, you got me, man."
At the press conference, announced the deal.
Yeah,
that's man. Listen, Jerry Jones knows exactly what he's doing.
Don't compare that deal to other quarterbacks. He came out fine. To be honest, Jerry.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
From the moment they stole 1 year Romo's prime, Romo should have been able to get his job back and have another season as the Cowboys quarterback. That was stolen from him. It wasn't right, and say what you want to say about Dakota, man. He looks like, if all things are well, shout out to Matt Ryan, the when all things are going well, great quarterback.
Mm-mm.
That's how I look at Dak If the line is great and the running game is really good and the receivers, everybody is on point, that can be really good. But when you ask him to elevate other guys, I just don't see it. I don't see it.
We can agree on that one.
Well, you made a good point here. He's not taking advantage of his leg the way he used to, too. And
he tried to have that ankle point the wrong way again.
Yep. But, hey, that's when sliding comes in. You know, you got to be careful. I mean, that's a weapon that he can utilize, right? And he's not taking advantage of that. And, he could easily get out of some of those situations, third and short, second and short, you know, running for the first down, extending drives. He's really gotten away from that. You know, early in his career, I think it was his rookie season or his second season where the Cowboys went 13-3. I know they lost to Green Bay in the second round of the playoff. Zeke. But if you remember, I mean, that him and Zeke had a thing going. I mean, they were both Zeke was running the football. Dak was mixing it up with the running pass game. And so he's gotten away from that run game, which makes him a serious threat. You look at Jalen Hurts right now, what he's doing with the Eagles. Man, he's masterfully running that offense with his legs and with his arm. And Dak has gotten away from making some of those plays with his legs. And,
you know why?
And maybe that's what he needs to do. You know, maybe the injuries, he doesn't have as good athleticism as he used to have, but I think he's still a fairly good athlete. And he probably needs to go back and sit down and watch some Jalen Hurts.
And I'm not saying he has to run all the time, but in certain situations, against certain teams. Against that San Francisco team, your quarterback has to pick up that chunk yardage that's left there. You have to take
nobody wants the Lamar Jackson comparison of he's a running quarterback and he can't pass in the pocket. And they get that in their head. And the Cowboys are a prime example. All the stats show when the Cowboys run the ball and play defense and they are good running the ball, they win football games. But that's not cute. It's not spectacular. They want Dak to be Patrick Mahomes. They want him to throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's what they want. The analytics and statistics tell you that when they run the ball first and play defense and then let him be complimentary on that, they're a better football team. But when you pay Dak that kind of money, they want him to be Patrick Mahomes and Brady and Burrow and all those other dudes, and that's not where he is, and that's their problem. And they keep fighting their identity. Their identity is to play great defense, which they play phenomenal defense against San Francisco, and run the ball, but they also lost Pollard, and that hurt him a lot. But they get away from it. You watch them get away from it in the regular season where they want Dak just to be that, you know, go out there and sling the ball and get away from the run, and they lose, and that's part of their problem.
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned Mahomes and you mentioned Burrow. Both of those guys will extend drives with their legs when they have to, and you don't see Dak doing that as much anymore.
Right.
And, Mahomes and Burrow will, and Jalen Hurts, you know, 3 of the 4 quarterbacks you see left in the playoffs,
hell,
all 3 of those guys are not – yeah, Purdy would do it a little bit too, but not as well as, of course, Mahomes, Burrow, and Hurts. Those guys will use those legs to extend drives, get first down, live to see another day, slide. I mean, I know Mahomes is hurt right now, but those guys are utilizing their legs, and Dak has an opportunity. I mean, obviously, they call a little nice bootleg on the goal line, and we got a touchdown against the Bucks a couple of weeks ago, and it was a great call in that game, but they're not utilizing his legs, and he's not utilizing his legs when plays break down too. So, I mean, that's something that I think the right coach or the right offensive coordinator has got to point out to him.
Talk about it. Dude, I brought up Kellen Moore. Everybody protecting him, man. Kellen Moore deserves some of that smoke too. Sorry, Jake.
Absolutely. There's enough blame to go around. It's not all just Dak Prescott. I totally agree with you about Kellen Moore. I think he got vanilla, you know, and he needs to mix it up. I think they knew what was coming before it was coming, and that's just so there wasn't any of that ingenuity we thought he was going to have. We thought he was going to be this creator, and I think after that game, his stock has gone down as far as getting a head coaching job as well.
It's amazing, bro. To week, how things change, bro. Last week, everybody was singing Dak's praises. Everybody was singing Kellen Moore's praises. And now, we're trying to run both of them out of town as one game.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's not just one game. It's their biggest game that they've had in, you know, since that
just
Green Bay catch that wasn't a catch. You know, it was that type of a game, and it was against the 49ers. you know, and all of their history that they have against the, with the 49ers. So it was more than that. And for them to not, you know, for them to not be ready, even on a shortened week, for them to not be ready for that game, come on.
Can we talk about some of the decisions with the skill? I'm sorry, Dre. Go ahead. Go away.
Keep it going, Nod. We love it, man. This is good. We love it. The fire.
No, we got to talk about the damn Cowboys. Let's talk about our damn the Bengals. Let's talk about some other stuff. God damn it.
We're coming to the Bengals.
No, we talked about the Cowboys in 30 minutes.
Yeah. Shit.
This is great, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Look at Garrett.
Hey, man, exactly what Garrett wants. They still are America's team. That's why that game got the highest rating we've ever seen. Well, I think they want to say 40 million plus or something watch that game. Say what you want to say. The Cowboys still move the meter, always will. But offensively,
well, they put it in the right time.
Pollard,
too, Sunday night,
and CB.
Right.
Well, I mean, but that played a part in it. Come on now. They love the Cowboys.
I mean,
play. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. But, I mean, that was perfectly planned out by the NFL and where they placed that game. The Sunday night game is always going to be the highest rated. But they put the right matchup on Sunday night, too.
Right, but we got to be honest, too, about the front office. Skill position-wise, Tony Pollard and CD, they can win one-on-one or whatever anytime on the field. Besides that, looking at their playmakers, what's there?
That's
what
we're
saying.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Let's talk about that.
That was my point. That was my point I was going to say, finally, to kind of wrap it up, Naj, is that, again, you kind of give it fast because, you know, when Tony Pollard went down, that sort of changed the dynamic. And, again, Dalton Schultz is doing his thing. And, again, Kellen Moore, you had kind of a recipe of things that didn't go right. You know, CeeDee Lamb, you know, he was the guy, but then he needs some help, you know. So a couple of things happened with the Cowboys. Like you said, Dak, you know, not running. Kellen, you know, you kind of had this thing, you know, Meyer, you know, a lot of things happened with the kicker. So you had all these different dynamics with the Cowboys. So it was one of the situations that it was tough, man. So again, we're here for you, Gary. I know JQ's finally in the Zoom. He's, like, really excited to talk about the Bengals. We're going to get to the Bengals, JQ. We're going to show you some love. Let's really
Well, the one thing I'll say about the Bengals real quick, we'll be talking about the Bengals next week and what they're going to need to do next year, you know.
Yeah,
but
you said that on Sunday, too. How'd that work out?
Picking Kansas City.
Yo, don't be a hater. Don't be a hater. Don't be like that, Gary. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Don't be a hater. Don't be that guy.
I'm not. You know, they're going into Kansas City. They're going
to
be playing. You know, Joe Cool is going
to
go in there. He's done really well against him. Patrick Mahomes is going to beat him.
They've lost three. They're three and oh versus the Chiefs, man. By the way, Burrow is. Just want to give you heads up.
Hey,
it's going to be a tough game.
Hey,
QB win.
That's what Kansas City's got going.
We're going to Burrowhead. We're not going to Arrowhead. We're going to Burrowhead.
What's that?
Burrowhead. Wow. Yeah.
No, but
you know, one thing you look at this matchup here this Sunday, and wait, I think it's two of us talking. Go ahead, Nas.
I'm sorry, man. No, go ahead, bro. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, the Bengals are tough. They're resilient. The defense is a lot better than they get credit for.
Absolutely.
And it's hilarious to me that NFL teams still haven't figured out the idea of once you have a Mahomes or a Josh Allen, you need a dome. You cannot let all of the chips in the middle of the table, and then you get a weather game in your playoff game, and that could possibly hurt your chances. Like, Buffalo playing in those conditions as a higher seed is ridiculous. But, again, shout-out to Joe Cool. Shout-out to Chase, who is unguardable, period. Mixon somehow found some of his old self and was running tough between the tackles, man. So, dude, this Cincinnati team is tough. And if Mahomes ain't been in that hyperbaric chamber enough and isn't 100 and there's a little bit of lag, like, dude, do people understand what kind of Superman thing he's going to have to pull off to win this game? Like, yo, Bengals up for real, man.
I don't see it, man. Bengals are for real.
I like the Bengals on the road in this game. And I like the Bengals on the road in this game. I mean, it normally takes 4 to 6 weeks from anybody to fully recover from a high ankle sprain. I mean, I know he's going to get the best medical attention. He's probably going to be walking in the boot all week. They're going to be protecting him as much as possible. But on average, it takes 4 to 6 weeks to recover from a high ankle sprain. I know Mahomes is going to give it his best shot. But I think, to me, that's going to be a tough recovery time for him to be ready for this game. And the Bengals and the 49ers are the two hottest teams in the league. And Naj touched on it. I know Andre, JQ, and Gary and I and our tech, you know, I mentioned it. I said the Bengals are not getting enough credit for their defense. And as well as Joe Burrow is playing, as well as Joe Mixon is playing, as well as Jamar Chase is playing, you know, their defensive line has been outstanding. Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard, you look at Von Bell in the secondary. They got no-name linebackers are playing well, but they make adjustments as well as any team in the league at halftime on defense. And so, I mean, they're not getting their credit. And then, you know, the offensive line, I mean, they were down three starters in that game the other night. And I know the Bills' defensive line has some injuries too, but their offensive line stepped up tremendously in that game on Sunday as well. So hopefully, the snow might have helped, but –
it's going to snow again in Kansas City, baby.
I just think, you know, and I may even pick the Bengals even if Mahomes is healthy in this game. But without a healthy Mahomes, I just don't think they, you know, I'm not going to say they have no chance. But I like the Bengals more in this game.
That's very easy. I ain't going to say that. They have a hell of a chance. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be a tough game. I've talked a lot of junk,
now,
but it's going to be a tough game.
This. You know, Mahomes, you know, even though he might be a little gimpy, I know he's probably tired of the media saying he's the better athlete, but Burrow's the better quarterback. So, you know.
Which is crazy.
If Mahomes has been listening to all this sports media, you know, that's probably going to motivate Mahomes to go in.
Yeah, it scares me. And the Bengals are now favorite, which worries me as a Bengals fan. Like, I would like to be the underdog and just kind of sneak into his city, fuck you up and win and leave. But now that he's a favorite, it's kind of tough in there. Listen, I'm talking junk. The Chiefs, that's going to be a really good game. It's going to be tough for Cincinnati to go in there and go on that road. But if the Bengals go off and pull off the Ravens, the Bills, and the Chiefs, woo, we got to put some respect on their name, baby, is all I'm going to say.
Bracket coverage on Kelsey and one-on-ones for the wide receivers.
And we're going to blitz the shit out of his gimpy ass. We're going to find out.
They can come after
Joe Burrow
him.
Walks on him. Joe Burrow just exudes so much confidence. He just brings it to the whole team. I saw that at LSU. He elevates everybody's play on that team. And Mahomes do too. So I mean, I'll get a twist.
Yeah.
Mahomes had that same kind of confidence. I just wonder about his high ankle sprain there. But confident in Kansas City.
Right.
I was going to say this really quickly. It's interesting because, you know, we're gonna shower JQ with some love here. I was reading this article about Joe Burrow before he, you know, kind of his amazing season, Rob. And they're talking about he couldn't beat Dwayne Haskins, right? And they talk about his path. He couldn't beat Dwayne Haskins, transferred out of the LSU. And then, like, that season, it was crazy. You look at the Heisman, it was, like, Jake Fromm, like, Kelly Mond, something crazy, right? This is, like, what's happening. He goes to LSU, has that amazing season, and you're like, who is this guy coming out of nowhere? 60 touchdown passes, 5 interceptions, blows up for LSU. And that's, like, kind of, like, the start of, like, his, like, cult, right? The cult following of Joe Burrow. The next thing you know, baby's like, hey, this is our dude, man. You know what I'm saying? So you just see kind of what happened, how his trajectory, right? And then, like you said, Rob, the confidence he has now, it's just been amazing how, you know, how he's evolved. And the top 5 players, I got Joe Burrow, Chase, you know, I got Mahomes and Kittles, and I got Jalen Hurts. But that's just like Naj, you said, Jamar Chase is unguardable, man. That dude is just insane, man. So the Bengals, man, it's like a situation where, like, you're watching that game, they were not scared of the Bills. They kept flashing, you know, Hamlin, and I get it, you know, all that. But it was like, you're like, the Bengals didn't give a damn. They're like, we can go in here, we're going to, like, rip on you. And Joe Burrow's like, we're going to throw. I mean, you're like, the Bills didn't want no part of that, you know. So, and even, like you said, they had a backup offensive lineman. The defense was playing well. They were playing all kinds of crazy coverages. I mean, Zach, I don't know who the hell was Hap coming at him. So it was just I'm like, yeah, Bengals, Super Bowl.
I was more impressed with the Bengals win than anybody this past weekend. I was more impressed with the Bengals win, even more so than the Eagles over the Giants. And, you know, I say going into the playoffs, there was five teams that I didn't think were good teams going into the playoffs. I still don't think the Giants were a good team. And so I was more impressed with the Bengals road win in Buffalo. And that game, you know, the NFL didn't give the Bengals any justice. That game, I still believe, should have been on a neutral site.
Had to get Sharifa.
And the Bengals didn't use
get
their
refund.
Excuse, and they still were on the road. Yeah, Joe Burrow, you better get your refund. That was classic.
That's funny.
And, but they didn't use that excuse. I was more impressed with that win out of any of the four wins this past week. So I like the Bengals in
your five. I'm going to go with the Bengals in the 49ers, but to your point, I'm going to go Burrow, Mahomes, Hurts. I'm going to go Kelsey. And I'm going to go Nick Bosa. What he does for that San Francisco defensive line has to be in that top line. I really do. So I'm going to go with those three quarterbacks and Nick Bosa and Travis Kelsey because Travis Kelsey is a beast. Like that's, I'm tongue-in-cheek here with this, with the Burrow head. That's going to be a really tough game for Cincinnati. They have to go in there now as the favorite because all that underdog stuff goes away when you walk in as a favorite. And I'm 100% sure that Patrick Mahomes is tired of hearing about being 0-3 versus Joe Burrow. So that game is going to be pretty good.
And Burrow being the best quarterback in the league now. Mahomes not going
to
like that.
We need to look at Dan Orlovsky in an objective way. When a man says Joe Burrow or anybody else is the best quarterback over Patrick Mahomes in this era, I don't know what to say about it. Like, say what you want to say. Like, Joe Burrow is one of those guys. Look like he might have a jacket by the time he's done playing. But Patrick Mahomes, dude, that's the Michael Jordan of this thing, man. Like, I'm not even doing that Patrick Mahomes blasphemy stuff. Like, that is crazy to me. But
but when you're 0-3 versus another dude, it's tough. It's tough. You got to have it.
Wins is not a stat. I am not doing
it. It is. You know how it's a stat? They use it against Peyton Manning all the time when he was playing against Tom Brady. They use it against him all the time.
And
so
they
shouldn't
have done that. And they should have
I agree with that, but they did. They did it for a long time, too.
Yep. Hey, well, you know, win-loss records for a quarterback is just like a pitcher in baseball. It's very important. You know, their win-loss record, their ERA. And so it goes a long way.
Absolutely.
My
top five is pretty similar to
JQ's,
but I got Jamar Chase over Travis Kelce.
I can agree with that.
I got Hurts, Burrow, Mahomes,
Bosa, and Chase. You can decide to put more people in the middle of the field to deal with Kelce. You can't decide.
But he's still catching 10 balls a game when you know he wants to go to Travis Kelce. Like, I love Jamar Chase. Don't get me wrong. I would put him at 6. But you know once they lost Tyreek Hill that they want to go to him. He caught 14 passes against the Jaguars, and you know that's where they want to go. Like, he's so dynamic.
He had
98
yards.
That was one of the worst offensive game plans we've ever seen in a playoff game. That's one of the worst.
14 grabs is 14 grabs. When you know I want to go to you and you still catch 14 passes, I don't care if you go for 50 yards. If there are 50 effective yards and we win, I'm going to take it. Like, Jamar
That's
Chase
like Michael
has the benefit
Thomas,
of
Mr.
having.
Plant Man back in the day.
Listen, and the Saints was always in it when you knew where Michael Thomas was going to be and you still couldn't stop it. And that's the point where I have to give Travis Kelce his due.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
So, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you're talking about Hall of Famer.
Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the game. There's no doubt about it. But I agree. Jamar Chase, you know, even watching him in college and even in the NFL, you put the best corners on him and they can't guard him. I mean, even in college, first-round picks. He made with the Diggs from Alabama. And what's the cornerback for the Falcons came from Clemson? And he made those guys look average in college.
Well, all I'm saying is this. If you decide to bracket Kelce and take away the middle of the field, it can be done. With Chase, if you do that too high safety stuff and you decide you're going to take away his deep ball, you're giving everybody else full run of the field. That's all I'm saying. Like, there's no good answer when dealing with Chase. At least with Kelce, and I think we're going to see this on this weekend, you can take Kelce away. Now, you're giving one-on-ones to everybody else, and good luck, Juju, MBS, and those guys who I don't think are that good. So,
shit.
You know, we'll see.
Yeah, they're going to eat Eli Apple with shit-talking ass up. I wish he would just go somewhere and sit down. But that's a conversation for a different day.
He made a couple of good plays this last week, and I was –
Yeah, but he was out there talking reckless, like he was, you know, Daryl Green. I was like, come on, man, I need you to relax. Like, just enjoy the land and go sit down.
He was throwing himself. He was throwing himself, JQ. He was like, what? He was throwing himself.
I was like, bro, I need you. You are killing the vibe. Everybody is rooting for us. If you would just shut the hell up and just enjoy the ride, and now we're the villains because you won't be quiet. Like, listen, if every time Eli Apple, I'm going to have some words. And he's a Buckeye and all of that, but please don't resign this dude. Stop it.
But, JQ, you got to remember, quarterback, we always talk about quarterback, but quarterback is still the hardest position. Because once you lose a step, you cannot be on a roster. But if you can at least stay with people, you're going to stay in the league for a long time because it's so hard to get a cornerback that you can play. So Eli, bad as he is, he's still going to be a – guy with
but
job.
Just shut the hell up. I'm not saying you're wrong, but just be cool and just go to the next game. Dude, you didn't win the Super Bowl last week. Just be cool. Shut the hell up and get ready for Kansas City and be cool. That's all I want. If you win the Super Bowl and that happens, you can talk. They're going to go after him. You know Juju's going to cook his ass in the first quarter, right? That's happening. He's going to cook him in the first quarter for talking that junk. It's happening.
I think we need to add that on there. Sorry, Andre. Josh Allen was greedy all day, man.
We spent like
he wanted those big plays so bad.
We spent 40 minutes talking like two topics. I love it.
Awesome.
Great, Dodge. This is good. I was excited when I saw the topics because I was curious because, Rob, we got a lot of, you know, I don't know what the hell, some talks and fans here about Stetson Bennett. I don't even know what the hell. But can we talk about that and talk about your mock draft? And then we'll see if we can talk about other topics here. So, but I just wanted to hear
don't
your thoughts
you
about
it,
that
Rob.
And also and, your mock draft stuff.
Don't you do it,
yeah, I still think Stetson Bennett will get drafted, but I have him as a late rounder between the fifth and sixth, seventh round, somewhere in that ballpark. You know,
a lot of these teams
are looking for these. Stetson Bennett, he's going to be a career backup, right? He's not going to be a starter in this league, you know, but he'll be a guy to maybe come in and fill in the pinch. And, you know, a lot of these teams are using these quarterbacks to come in and sometimes be a running quarterback, a Taysom Hill kind of guy, too. So he can be one of those gadget kind of guys in the pinch, too, for you. He's got decent athleticism. Not Taysom Hill, at least. I mean, Taysom Hill runs like a 4.40. But, you know, he can be a guy that can come and fill in for you and have a presence for you on the football team. Now, Stetson Bennett, downside to him, he's 39 years old already. And four or five years on the
ear.
Yeah.
It
wasn't
fair,
Georgia Bulldogs had a 39-year-old quarterback out there and winning national championship the last 2 years with a guy that old. You know, the NCAA got to do something about
right,
that.
He's been buying beer since freshman year.
Come on, dog. Yeah, that's what he's right.
I'm 9. Oh, God. That's like Antonio Brown. I am 9 years old. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Chris Winkie coming back.
Hey, but it don't.
Yeah,
like,
Chris
Winkie
all over.
If
again,
he gets,
right?
Can I say this, though, Drake? If he gets picked in the sixth round and he decides, well, maybe this ain't for me. If he walks away, dude, y'all understand that this man will own a car lot palooza in the state of Georgia and be going around doing speaking fees for $10,000 a pop for the rest of his life. Like, it doesn't even matter if he doesn't make the roster. That dude is Georgia-born and bred and stamped. He's good for life regardless.
He's going to make a roster. The dude that's a starter, that's a fringe starter, if they draft him, is going to be sitting there on draft night and say, oh, fuck. Because Stetson Bennett is going to make life hell for him in training camp. Listen, Stetson Bennett, I'm not a Georgia fan, but I like Stetson Bennett's moxie. He's going to come in there and take everything seriously. He's going to study. Yep. He's going to be ingratiating himself to all his teammates. He's going to be hard. If you're out there messing around as a starting quarterback and he's in there preparing, you better not have too many bad games and or get hurt. Because he's going to mess around and Wally Pip you. He's getting drafted. Like, you don't always have to be stereotypical size when I get he's older. And you're right, not 39 years old, but he's older. But the point is that he's not going to somebody. He's not Johnny Manziel coming there just to be like, oh, well, I did this and that, so I've already said.
Exactly.
Stetson Bennett is
he's got the right mentality.
He has the great mentality. He's going to go in there and give it everything that he's got. And either
the
bad or good for the starting
he
quarterback, he's either going to make that starting quarterback work harder to make sure he keeps his ass on the bench, or he's going to make that organization understand that the dude that you thought was a starter is not that guy because he don't prepare the same way, not prepared with all the accolades and the talent that you say that he has. So depending on where he goes, that's a very good thing for your organization to have him be a part of it. I like Stetson Bennett. I really do.
Well, when he gets his first contract with whoever he plays for, and he gets a halfway decent contract, whether he's a backup or whatever, they're also probably going to throw in an AARP card for him, don't you think?
Good one, Gary.
You need dudes like that on your roster. You need that guy.
And you
need
15% guy to count at Denny.
I'm going to say this. He's already won two
games. Got one. I know.
Brock Purdy is making Stetson Bennett some money.
That's true too. But what I'm saying, JQ, you know, and I've got like, you know, me and obviously we're all here, obviously with Rob and you're still back and forth. But you know, I follow the you know a fan site called The Talkaholic, and there's a lot of folks in there. And they're like, man, we can get Stetson Bennett in the sixth round. And I'm like, they're kind of serious, man. There may be a situation where if he's sitting there, you never know that they may mess around and draft that dude, and next thing you know, the cult of Stetson will keep going. Like, oh, he's a Georgia guy. Now we got him. I'm telling you, it's like back in their mind thinking this actually may happen, you know, in a weird kind of way. You know?
Hey, Tom Brady got picked in the sixth round. Not saying Stetson Bennett is going to be Tom Brady. Brock Purdy, he's already won two playoff games. This guy will get drafted, and he may even go as high as the fourth round. I mean, I have him going somewhere between fifth, sixth, and seventh. But don't be surprised if he goes higher than that. He could go to the mid rounds in the third or fourth. You know, obviously we still got workouts once you get to all the testing and meetings and testing his quarterback knowledge and things of that nature. Somebody could fall in love with him and even take him higher than that. I mean, we're still early in the draft process right now. Don't be surprised if he even goes high as the third or fourth round. I don't see him going in the first or second, though. I don't see that happening.
This guy is terrible. He's going to be a third stringer at best. He's going to have the baseball cap on the sideline. And like JQ said, he's a hard worker. He's a good culture guy. So I think he'll be able to stick on rosters, and that dude's going to make some nice bread as a backup quarterback. But if he's playing, it's a disaster. The season is over. He's taking out the starter. Or if he got hurt. But if he's playing, something bad happens, brother. Like, this dude is not good. Like, I'm
Wow. Dodge is not like, he is not in his corner. Okay.
Hey, you don't think he'd come in and go 4-1 like Cooper Rush?
He could.
I don't think he's as good as Cooper Rush, but with the scenario, that could play out.
Come on, man. Yes, he is. He can do that.
Wow.
He can absolutely do that.
Let's not act like Cooper Rush was out there making stick throws during that little period for the Cowboys. They were happy
to
turn the ball over.
But he kept him afloat. So if you ask him to come in and be a better Chase Daniels, he can be a better Chase Daniels.
Wow. I love this. Man, we're going to see this. I can't wait for a draft.
It's
man,
true, really.
Call
in
for the draft. I agree with JQ, man. Don't underestimate that guy.
Everyone's underestimating
so that
dude. Y'all can trash him later. Y'all can trash my guy later.
Who's your guy? Damn it. Who's your guy?
Well, you know, UF. Big boy Anthony.
Oh, Anthony Richardson.
Josh Allen, okay. Cam Newton mold.
Oh,
my
God. Oh, my
goodness.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, he out there.
Speaking of that, Rob.
Yeah, so they're going to both be bust.
I got
him. Speaking of my draft.
Going 11
now, that's a clipboard right carrier.
But.
Oh, very firing shot.
There's going to be a few teams falling in love with Anthony Richardson. Don't get it twisted, though. I mean, he's got unbelievable arm talent. He's a tremendous athlete. There's going to be some teams fall in love with him. And, you know, I have him number 11 overall right now. But don't be surprised if he goes even in the top five or six. And, you know, there's going to be some teams fall in love with Anthony Richardson.
Let's go.
Yeah. Talk draft here because we might as well talk. We literally segue.
His accuracy is not where it needs to be, and that's where it's holding him back. But as far as overall talent, he's got better arm talent and he's a better athlete than any quarterback in the draft. Yeah, yeah. But his accuracy is not there.
So did you, Marcus Russell?
But you know what
I'm saying? He had a great strength, too.
Well, one knee.
The Red Bees and Rice didn't miss Jamarcus Russell, though. I mean,
come on, Rob.
Wow.
Red Bees and Rice didn't miss her.
Come on. I'm trying to tell y'all about Jamarcus Russell.
Wow. We have gone off the rails here. I love it.
Anyway, my mock draft is I just did the first round for this week. Will Anderson has still got him going number one in the Bears, but I fully expect there's going to be some team trade up to number one and work out a deal with the Bears. But for the sake of where we are now, you got Will Anderson one. I've got C.J. Stroud number two to Houston now. Bijan Robinson, it looks like Arizona's all in on sticking with Kyler Murray, even though he's probably going to be out all of next season. So I got Bijan Robinson running back from Texas going number three. I got Bryce Young. Indianapolis is going to finally stop going with the 45-year-old quarterbacks and draft a young guy in this draft, and they're going to go with Bryce Young, Alabama, number four. Jalen Carter, who might be the best player in the draft, defensive tackle from Georgia. I got him going number five to Seattle. Tyree Wilson, edge rusher, Texas Tech. Got him going number six to Detroit. Will Levis, quarterback, Kentucky. I got him going seven to the Raiders. Devon Witherspoon, cornerback from Illinois, who might have the best cornerback take this past season. I got him going number eight to Atlanta. He's got a clean tape, and he's a riser in this draft right now. Trenton Simpson, linebacker of Clemson, got him going number nine, Alabama. Brian Breesy, defensive tackle, Clemson, in Philadelphia. And Anthony Richardson, as I talked about earlier, quarterback, Florida. I got him going to Tennessee at 11. Then I'll skip around a little bit. Miles Murphy, edge rusher, Clemson. I got him going 12 to Houston. Isaiah Foskey, 11 sacks this past season, defensive end from Notre Dame. I got him going to the Jets at 13. And Peter Skoronski, offensive tackle from Northwestern. He's that Bill Belichick kind of player. Smart, one of the best offensive linemen in the league. Got him going 14 to New England. Quentin Johnson, wide receiver, TCU. I got him going to Washington. Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle, Ohio State, got him going to Pittsburgh, JQ's favorite team.
No.
I know you just love to see Ohio State players go to Pittsburgh.
Huh. Sorry.
Didn't even happen yet, man.
It's a mock draft.
It didn't even happen yet. I gotta get out of this.
Oh, man.
Jackson
Smith and Jigba. I got him going to Tampa Bay at 19. The Dolphins, their pick is forfeited. Jordan Addison, wide receiver, USC, going to the Chargers. Jordan Porter Jr. to Baltimore, 23. And got the Cowboys taking Cam Smith, cornerback, South Carolina. I got Cincinnati against Joe Burrow, another weapon. Michael Mayer, tight end, Notre Dame. And I'll stop there. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We have a lot of fun, as always, talking sports with you all. We'd love to hear from you all on our Facebook and Twitter page. Let us know what you think about the show. East Coast, Philadelphia, we want to hear from y'all. In the NFC Championship this week, 11 p.m. on next Tuesday night. And then, of course, the Central Time Zone, Kansas City. Hey, what time zone is Cincinnati in? The Eastern Time Zone, right?
East.
Yeah, Cincinnati, 11 p.m. too, next Tuesday. We want to hear from y'all. Kansas City, that's going to be 10 p.m. Central. And then the Bay Area, it's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And that also includes Fresno, to Jackson, Mississippi, at California. Make sure y'all tune in. I know most of y'all in Fresno are 49ers fans, and we want to hear from y'all too in Fresno. Good night, y'all.
Listen, if you let that shit happen where Paris Johnson goes to the Steelers and Joey Porter Jr. goes to Baltimore, I would be so mad at that first round, I might not even join the show. That would be some bullshit. I don't want none of that to happen. None of it.
I can't control
none
that.
Of it.
Bullshit.
Cursing
like it already happened, man.
Bullshit.
Like,
not that
don't take it personally.
It's not personal. Oh, I'm just saying I can see it falling like that, and I would be mad as hell watching the first round. You know how hype that will be? You'd be like, yeah, whatever happens in this postseason, get ready for the draft, and let Pittsburgh get Ohio State, and then let Jordan Porter Jr. go to the goddamn Baltimore. I'll be hot. I will be really warm. You would too. You need to tune into the show after that draft, because I'm not going to be pleased at all. I don't need that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This has probably been one of my funner shows ever. This has been a great show. I will say this, Rob. You know that sometimes it feels like you're doing clickbait on us, man. Because, I mean, again, I don't know if Houston would overtake C.J. Stroud for Bryce Young. I mean that would be like Indiana's like perfect situation. I just know that something like that would happen. You know, again, Devon Witherspoon, that's a jump. There's an edge guy, man. We got to get edge of eight, man. Whatever happens in free agency, that's what I'm looking at, you know. So something like that happens, that's kind of interesting from that perspective too. But, you know, everything else is pretty pretty good. I mean, even, you know, Tyreek still going there.
One more thing.
But, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
One more thing.
Watch the kid from Iowa, Lucas Van Ness. He's climbing up draft boards already.
I know, too. That dude looks like a problem, too. Yeah, we're talking about that.
He got Levis going to Tennessee. So are we seeing – the ending of the Malik Willis experiment, now he moves the slot receiver as he probably should.
I got Levis on the Raiders, but Anthony Richardson to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Richardson to Tennessee. Okay, I knew you had a
same
quarterback
difference.
In Tennessee.
Same difference.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So would you be willing to go there? Do you think it might be time for a position change and Malik, he might just not be a thrower of the football?
Well, you know, until you have a quarterback, you keep drafting him. And obviously, you know, Ryan Tannehill, you know, we all know what kind of, you know, what we think about him as a quarterback. And,
yeah.
You know, we still don't have enough on Malik yet to know if he's going to be a difference maker at the quarterback position. So you keep drafting a guy until you get him. And, you know, and you keep going after that quarterback until you have one.
When you draft that dude and Tannehill sucks, and then you start Malik Willis and you have to turn to Joshua Dobbs, that tells you what they feel about Malik Willis. I understand they were still on the playoff hunt, so to speak, but you wouldn't got a dude that was making like his fifth NFL start over a dude that you just took in the third round to be your future, and you looked at him after a game and was like, yeah, no, I'm going to need to go get a dude off somebody's practice squad and bring him in. That's an indictment on Malik Willis. That's bad. That's bad, bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and you see why he fell the third round.
I'm saying throw him in the slot, but I hear you though. I'm just saying.
Wow,
I've
already?
I've seen enough.
Already?
I want to hear what y'all say, but I've seen enough.
So he's a Popeye's biscuit from being a tight end? So I can put him in the fall.
but it's funny, right? Because speaking of this, right, this is another analogy, right? Because the same thing was happening with San Francisco and Trey Lance. What are you going to do about him? I mean, you know, Brock Purdy has got a stranglehold in that situation. Trey Lance is not the
guy
anymore.
That's not the same
thing.
That's a seventh-round pick to be your backup because you thought the Garoppolo was going to leave to be the backup. That's not the same way as taking a quarterback in the first round. I've taken the quarterback in the third round the year before. That's
a little different. Yeah. I mean, I get you.
Well, the 49ers are going to trade one of those quarterbacks this year. All three of those guys are not going to be on that team next year. They're going to
go ahead and just pack your shit up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, maybe Garoppolo was on the team. Remember, they shopped him hard this last season, and they couldn't get any takers.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, part of the reason why they didn't get any takers is because he was injured, too. But I think you're going to see somebody go after Garoppolo this offseason. He had a solid – he wasn't great. He wasn't spectacular, but he had a solid season. Shucks, I mean, shucks. I take him with the Saints over Andy Dalton.
Yeah, but with the cap number, why wouldn't you rework a deal with Garoppolo as a backup to Purdy and you move Trey Lance? Trey Lance has to play the good soldier all summer, say he's competing for the job or what, you know, yada, 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 and then you move him.
That might be where they don't take Richardson, because Tennessee hired San Francisco's assistant GM, I believe, to be their GM, and Trey Lance likes the post. When Carson, I think it's his name, got that job in Tennessee. So, you know, sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire. It might not be drafting. It might be like, hey, I was part of getting Trey Lance. I see the writing on the wall for Trey Lance in San Francisco. Can I get 45 cents on the dollar to bring him to Tennessee and move off to Tennessee on these two dudes back battling out? So that's,
I don't think the 49ers giving up on Trey Lance, though. I really don't. I think they're going to see I want to see more out of him. I don't think Trey Lance is the guy San Francisco was giving up on. He was the guy they traded up and gave up a lot of draft capital for him and moved up to number 3 in the draft. I think the 49ers still want to see what they can do with Trey Lance.
What if Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl?
They still not giving up on Trey Lance. I think Garoppolo is our man out. I really do. Garoppolo is the guy they almost got rid of last season. They kept him. I think Garoppolo's the odd man now. I think what they're seeing out of Brock Purdy is saying, hey, okay, you know, even if Trey Lance was the guy, we got a backup now. But I definitely don't think they're giving up on Trey Lance. They traded way too much. They gave up way too much draft capital to move up to that number 3 spot to get Trey Lance.
Right.
I think they're going to see – they're going to want to see a little bit more out of him.
Wait. I get that. But until Trey Lance, I think at some point, you know, asset becomes only the asset you see it become a player, then he's just a player. If Brock Purdy, for whatever reason, wins the Super Bowl, I don't know if you can slot Trey Lance into being a backup given everything that you got. He's going to be chomping to bit to be a starter, and now you have that tension in the locker room. Like, it's easy to have Garoppolo be the backup. Everybody's like, no, that's just Garoppolo.
Yes.
But if you move that far up to get Trey Lance and Purdy wins the Super Bowl and you come back and you say, well, Trey Lance, now you slot behind Brock Purdy, you know, we gave all that up for you. I don't know. I don't know, Rob.
Well, you can go quarterback at 49ers with that offensive line, with them running backs, with Debo Samuel and George Kittle and that defense. Come on, man. Hey, Jeff Hostetler won a Super Bowl for the Giants, and next year Phil Simms was back at the quarterback position.
But they didn't trade 3 first-round picks to go get Jeff Hostetler.
Some of that stuff is paid by numbers. Anybody can do it. But a lot of that stuff is that dude is poised beyond his years and beyond his damn draft grade. So even if, like, let's say you don't win the Super Bowl. Let's say you show well in the NFC Championship game. You telling those guys in the locker room he's not the starter next year? I don't see it, man. I just don't see it. How good would Trey have to be to unseat him?
He has to be phenomenal.
You got to talk, just like what Rob said, you got to talk about that investment that they have. You know,
they're not going to give up on him just yet.
You can't throw good money after bad.
They're going to want to see. You always listen to offers. There's no doubt about it. But I personally believe, and I could be wrong on this, way off base, but I just don't believe they're going to give up on Trey Lance. After what they've done, how much value they've moved up to go and get him. I think they're going to want to see what he can possibly become. And maybe a year or two down the road, he's not the answer, then you give up on him. But I think the 49ers want to be sure about that before they give up on him.
No. But if you do that, he depreciates.
All I'm saying is Trey Lance better not park in Brock Purdy's parking spot. That's all I'm saying.
Listen, they call him this man Big Cock Brock. This dude's nickname in the team is Big Cock Brock. Like, it's hard to come off that dude when he takes you to the NFC Championship game and all the dudes in this locker room is calling him Big Cock Brock.
They only scored 19 points against the Cowboys this past week. The 49ers won that game. I mean, Brock Purdy was solid, and he didn't turn over the ball. He did what he was supposed to do. I'm not taking anything away from the kid. But the 49ers defense, that zone blocking scheme, Kyle Shanahan's probably the best play caller in the business. And that zone blocking scheme, Elijah Mitchell, Christian McCaffrey, the incredible catch and skill by George Kittle, you know, bobbling the ball and keeping the focus and catching
the
ball.
Well, he's got the personnel, too. I mean,
they got the personnel. And this 49ers team is just built perfectly for an Andre Peterson going in quarterback. And we saw what Andre could do to black football.
But wait a minute. But the Bengals only scored 17 points against the Ravens, against a really good defense. And they went to Buffalo and put 27 on that defense on the road. So it's hard to put that in a calculus and say, well, they only did this in this game. The Cowboys have a really, really good defense. They played really good in that game. That didn't help them in that game. But it's hard to just put that and say that on that because everybody said the same thing about Joe Burrow last week. When they barely beat the Ravens, they only scored 17 points offensively. Then they went to Buffalo and put 27 on the boys in the snow, all offensive scoring. So I'm not going to hold him to that standard in 1 week until I see what happens next week and moving forward if they win this game. It's hard to just say that.
If Brock Purdy go to Philadelphia and put 40 on the Eagles.
Well, that's all. God damn it. Why we got to go from 17 to 40? Can we, like, meet somewhere in the middle?
If he go on the road,
we also
got to
bring.
Eagles,
we also got to bring.
Then we
got to
bring Trey Lance. Really got a problem. But I don't have that problem yet.
Can it be like 29, 28? Does it have to be 40?
Oh no, it's got to be 40.
He won a lot.
Seattle defense was Sherman Tisher soft this year.
Yeah. That's why they bring that up. I'm not even into the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Right, but we got to put game plans into the discussion. When you got Brock Purdy and you're playing the Dallas Cowboys, you have really good defense. Your play calling is going to be real close to the best. You'd rather punt it and play the field position because you know it's going to be a tight game. Go back to the Cincinnati against Baltimore. They said, Lamar's not playing. You guys can't score. We're not taking any risk. We will punt this thing and keep it moving, and eventually you guys are going to lose because you can't score. And that's what happened. And then you see teams do that. So we got to take that into consideration when we talk about how many points they score.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They felt like they were kind of close to the best of Brock. They didn't really, like, extend the plays of Brock. They kind of kept everything contained, ran the ball a little more. Very safe play call, it felt like. But I will agree with JQ in that if Brock wins the Super Bowl, you know, that's another conversation for Trey, man. Because that, again, no matter what you like, you know, hey, all was forgiven. I don't care how many, you know, draft picks I gave up, you know, because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to win Super Bowl. And you're like, yeah. Because look at the Jets, man. They freaking Zach Wilson. Like, hey. And that was a mistake, obviously. You look at, you know,
I think
how
he wins
the Super
Bowl.
You know. Yeah.
How
well,
they
win
the Super Bowl, I think, would determine that. I think how they win the Super Bowl.
That's fair.
If they win the Super Bowl 12-10, they went off kicking 4 field goals.
Look, dude, go back to Tom Brady's first 3 Super Bowls. Tom Brady wasn't exactly lighting it up, but myth-making and narrative play a part in the NFL because that's how you tell a story, and that's also how you create stars. So if they win that game 13-10, Brock Purdy is going to be on the Wheaties box, he's going to be on Good Morning America, and they're going to run that story up like he's the greatest quarterback to ever.
Oh, yeah.
If
they win the Super Bowl, no matter what the score is, or really even how they win, if he wins the Super Bowl in San Francisco, he'll be the starter, regardless of what they had to, you know. I mean, that's what their goal is. They've got a team that's built for it.
That very well
going to be the end of the line for the. We're talking about something that's not even going to happen, though. The Eagles are going to win the game.
How can a seventh rounder go in and beat that Philly team? Dude, if they win, I will be shocked if he's able to pull this off.
I'm picking San Fran.
Well, the reason why I'm picking the Eagles is because they're going to do what Dak, you know, Hurts is going to do what Dak wouldn't or couldn't. He's going to extend plays. He's going to run. He's going to, you know, do all those things that we were talking about earlier that Dak or the offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, never dialed any of that shit up. It will be dialed up. It will be dialed up in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's
it's
why I'm
green
log
and Fred
thinking.
Warner keep hitting him in his forehead and he's going to stop wanting to run the ball. I'm going with San Francisco.
Hey, but I tell you, though, Nick Sirianni is the milkman. If the Eagles get up 10, if the Eagles get up 13, the game is over. They will run that clock down to the point to where you don't even get 50 offensive play. Like, dude, San Fran has to do something early spectacular. They got to score or get up.
Wait.
Because if Philly
am
gets
I the
only
person on San Francisco on the call?
That clock
is over. Well,
anybody who's watched Philly this season knows what I'm talking about. They'll
that's
get
right,
up
damn it.
In the first half. And that second
you know
half,
I got
dude,
family
dude, they don't want to play no more. Milk it.
I think it's going to be a heck of a football game. But, yeah, I'm picking Philly. I'm picking Cincinnati to go to the Super Bowl. I think Patrick Mahomes is gimpy. The Bengals is the hottest team in the AFC right now. The 49ers are a hot team right now, but I just think the Eagles,
I think
it's going to be a little too much for them. I think the quarterback position is going to be the difference. I think Hurts is definitely outplayed Purdy. And I just think they're going to, you know, and Philadelphia's defense is definitely good enough to slow the 49ers, the offense down and their run game down. So I like the Eagles in this one. I'm going to go 23-14 Philadelphia. I don't think they're going to score a lot of points. Obviously, the 49ers defense is good, but I think they've managed the game enough to score enough points to beat the 49ers. Now, as far as the Bengals are concerned, I'm going to go 27-21 with the Bengals winning on the road.
It's time for the Bengals to get to exercise some demons. We owe San Francisco's ass. They cost us two Super Bowls. We need a rematch so we can get us a Super Bowl against their ass, Cincinnati, San Francisco. I don't give a damn what the score is as long as I'm right. I said it.
Eagles and Kansas City. That's just dang. Just hate. But you know what I mean? Like,
what you got,
how do you go to bed at night with that much hate in your heart? Like, how do you lay down on the pillow and close your eyes?
One of my favorite sayings is, JQ, if you don't have any haters, you're not doing something right.
You ain't doing something right.
There you go. There you go. I hate to say it.
I
second his picks.
Who you going to
be taking now? I like the 49ers Bengals.
Go ahead, Dre. My bad, Dre.
49ers and Bengals for me, but go ahead. I'm relevant at this time. Go ahead, Nosh.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm rolling the same pick, man. My mind tells me to pick the Bengals, but, dude, I feel like there's going to be a really long needle shot into that man's ankle, and we're going to see something spectacular from Mahomes, and somehow, give me 31-28 KC. He pulls it out somehow, and then
wow.
I'm going to Philly
wow.
the whole game. I think
so he over the
yeah, see?
So
no,
going,
I love
even,
it. I love
we
it.
Have the same
pick,
Nosh.
Gary, who you going with, Dre?
I'm going with Gary, man.
I'm going with the Bengals and the 49ers. And the, I so, love and the fact
so,
that Nosh
so
is
JQ,
going with
JQ and Dre got the same pick. Gary and Nosh got the same pick. I'm the only one going with the Eagles and the Bengals. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that, it's all well and good on that angle to 22 degrees outside, and that shit start freezing over, and ain't nothing to wear off.
But you think about this, though, right? I think about what would make a good Super Bowl, right? You know, because, again, there's certain, like, me and Marcia talk about this. Like, would be, like, a cool, like, it'd be cool. To, there's so many good matchups. Like, it'd be cool to see the Chiefs. And
I
the
think
Eagles.
Any of
these
would be a good matchup.
It would be a great deal to see the Cincinnati and 49ers. It would be great, you know, to see, you know, the 49ers and the Chiefs. That'd be good too. It'd be good to see the Bengals and the Eagles. Those would be great Super Bowls. So I don't think these are bad.
I don't think we'll have a bad matchup regardless of who wins.
Yeah, it's
going to
be
y'all,
great Super
y'all
Bowl.
Are
matter,
more
who,
likely,
you know,
to be
right?
Yeah, I think
you know
y'all
what?
Obviously,
right.
For me,
I disagree.
If there is one thing, I don't think there'll be a bad matchup, but I would like to see Jalen Hurts against Burrow or Mahomes. I mean, Brock Purdy is not going to
be
an exciting
be
quarterback to have
I'm
in the Super
you.
Bowl. So,
true.
So I will say, I think the better matchup will be Hurts against anybody from the AFC.
This is why I disagree a little bit, and it's not
the Super Bowl. Mahomes can win this game and then get to the Super Bowl and get extra gimpy, and then we get the Tampa KC Super Bowl all over again.
And that's
so
that's what I was going to say. Because he's got the high ankle sprain. We don't have the defensive line that the 49ers and the Eagles have, and I understand that and I own that. And for us to win the Super Bowl, if we get there, will be Joe Burrow just playing lights out. But if Mahomes gets past this night and he's still got the ankle sprain and he has to deal with either that San Francisco or that Philadelphia front seven, that's a whole different animal if he's not healthy. And they can expose it away in a much greater circumstance than the Bengals can in the AFC Championship game. That's why I say that. Like, if he's not healthy, it could be ugly for Kansas City if he's not able to do what Mahomes is, what we're used to seeing Mahomes do.
So what are you saying? My prediction of the Eagles and the Bengals would be a better Super Bowl.
It would, only because Mahomes is not healthy. If Mahomes is healthy, then it's like just put four teams in the hat, pick two, and you probably have a really good Super Bowl either way. But with Mahomes with a high ankle sprain, of course he gets another week off, but a high ankle sprain takes a little time. And if he's at 82%, 82%, the Eagles and the 49ers, those defensive lines can hurt him and hurt him bad with those front sevens if he's not able to beat Patrick Mahomes. And that's what it's like. But
those layups to Kelsey are out the window. Against either one of those.
It is tough.
If you're
it's tough, Rob. I'm with you. I'm with you, Rob. I think it'd be good to see like Jalen Hurts, because I'd love to see him get one, because the Eagles have been the best team like all year, right? They've been the most like 14 and they've only lost three games, man. So you talk about a great squad. So that's a good squad, and I agree with you. Like Joe Burrow, that would be a great matchup. So I mean, I'm not mad at that either. You know, so it's like I'm kind of with you, Robin. But that'd be a cool like Super Bowl, right? You're like, oh, this is actually
LSU, Alabama,
you know,
all over.
Hey, JQ,
I don't want you to get it too twisted. Of these four teams, okay, I picked my teams that I thought are going to be in there. But whoever of these four teams are in there, I'm rooting for the AFC. If your team's in there, I'm rooting wholeheartedly for your team.
Well, Gary, you know you love the Eagles and the 49ers.
I do about as much as JQ loves the Steelers.
we can go ahead and end this all. I know, we all know that's bullshit. You know, he knows how I feel about them.
That's right. I do. That's why I said it.
I know.
We appreciate the call. I mean, again, we definitely went longer than expected. This is probably one of the funner shows that we've had in a long time. Just, you know, we spent 30 minutes talking about the Cowboys, talking about the Bengals and everything like that, and what's happening to this playoff for two. So
we didn't spend 40 minutes talking about the damn Bengals. We spent all the time talking about the damn Cowboys, like every show on TV does.
Yeah, we spent too much time on the Bengals. You're right.
Support my petition to get Buffalo a dome, man. I don't want to see Josh Allen go out like that again, man. Get that man a dome.
You know, I get paid by the minute by keeping, you know, these Cowboy conversations going. You know, I get a check from Gary.
Apparently.
I wish.
I know. We want to talk, you know, do you want to say anything else, Rob, before you want to, Jake, because I know there's some interesting things as far as what's happening with freaking Aaron Rodgers, you know, and the he may get traded to the AFC. And then Bill O'Brien's going back. Finally, Jake, question for you, Gary. Bill O'Brien's going back to coach the offense for the Patriots. I know you're excited about that. So you can finally have something exciting to talk about.
They'll be 9-8.
The interesting thing to me about that is going to be, you know, Bill O'Brien coached Mac Jones in college too, so that's going to be interesting to see if he can get Mac Jones to elevate his game too. Because obviously, I think Mac regressed this past year in the second season. So that's going to be
an interesting
combination. Yep. So it's going to be.
You mean the guy
see.
With the pencil in his ear wasn't a great OC? What?
Speaking of OC, O'Brien is the only offensive coordinator that didn't win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady.
Wow. Hey, you know, you talked about Aaron Rodgers here. And you know, Aaron Rodgers, we all know, is a drama queen, right? You know, he's going to go on TV and do all the whining and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, he's going to decide what he wants to do or not do and things of that nature. But the one thing that the Packers have made clear, they're not going to trade him to an NFC team. And so, obviously. So,
hey, set up the reunion, man. Send him out there with his
home. I know one team that's a lot of talk right now is the Jets. I hear that's one team that's going to be really interested in Aaron Rodgers. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
I love it. Fucking love it. When he starts out 4-3 and the New York media starts getting on his ass and he has to do conferences, oh, my goodness. That is going to be fantastic,
yeah, that would be just,
bro. I'll sit his ass there. Do it.
It's
going to
be a perfect scenario.
Yes.
I don't know if you want that. Garrett Wilson, them are pretty good, man. I don't know if you want
that. Yeah, but his old ass don't want to get hit either. He's going to do some shit and get mad at Aaron Wilson, and he's going to be wrong. And New York media going to skewer his ass, and he going to be like, well, wait a minute. I'm Aaron Rodgers. How dare you talk to me like that? And it's going to be fireworks at that press conference. I give it to week 6 at best before it blows up.
Yeah, see, what would be great about that is he goes into this, he's won 2 games or 3 games out of his first 6 or 7 games. He gets that media pounding on him.
Following his ass around.
I won't even watch
Brooklyn.
The game. I'll just tune in to his press conferences. That's all I'll care about. I'll record
him. He can't go nowhere. They're going to follow him. He's going to be talking to a little starless. They're going to be like, that's why he can't win the game. He's out here trying to fuck this chick. I'm sorry. Trying to be with this chick. They're going to be all over his ass. I'm here for it. That's happening if he goes to New York. That's happening.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here for it.
I'm Aaron Rodgers. Can I get a reservation at this restaurant? You're going to have to go somewhere else, Mr. Rodgers.
And everybody like this.
Are y'all scared of pressure? He won't get away with. I'm immunized.
Yeah, no.
Like he did last year.
Yeah, that's something that happens in Green Bay. He's not gonna fly in New York. They got a whole back page and 3 newspapers just dedicated to harassing his ass. That's happening.
that was a whole back page. Get away with that. No follow-up.
You think you're ready to go to New York. He better ball out. If he don't ball out, they're going to be on his ass. It's going to be fun to watch.
I want him in Vegas, man. Get him out there with Devontae, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well,
yeah, I don't. No.
I think the Raiders, it's going to be interesting. The Raiders want Tom Brady, and it's all going to come down to Tom Brady is going to come back and play or not, and who he chooses to play with. But I think that's who their first choice. Josh
McDaniels,
coach Tom
Brady.
So
if you were the Raiders, who would you rather have of the two? Would you rather have Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers?
If you're trying to make
Aaron Rodgers,
I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady right now at this point.
Josh McDaniels wants the familiarity, but I think if you're Aaron Rodgers, I think the Raiders should be a team, to reunite with Adams. Devontae Adams.
Yeah. Devontae don't want that shit no more. He left him for a reason. He's going to be like, hey, man, no. No. I'm tired of his shit.
That one
no.
Baby stuff.
I'm tired. He don't want no more of that.
Yeah, two crybabies.
He's going to put a Thanos gift on his social media. Look what
I think if the Raiders don't get Tom Brady, they may get in the Jimmy Garoppolo conversation, or they may just draft a quarterback and have them battle Jared Stidham and see what they get out of that.
Please go get Garoppolo, Raiders. I don't need no more damn killers in the AFC. You go have Garoppolo have fun with that. I'm 100% behind that. You do that, please.
Hey, man, but can we say this, though, with Brady, watching him this past 5-6 games, this dude don't want to be hit no more. So you're getting Brady.
Nope.
I don't know if people realize the Brady you're getting. Like, this ain't clear.
He's going to be 46
though.
In August.
Man, he was throwing that thing regardless. I'm check down, check down, check
don't
down.
Don't hit me.
Man. It's over, man. Like, he's cooked. You cannot keep going.
He needs to retire. He really does.
He does.
I thought he should have retired last year.
But he ain't got nobody to go home to.
He ain't got nothing to do. Let's wrap this up. I was going to say, do keep an eye. I'm going to be curious. Keep an eye with Miami, too, with Garoppolo, because I do wonder about Tua. I don't know. Tua's still kind of, Miami may be a quarterback away, too. You know what I'm saying? Because they may be kind of like.
That quarterback ain't Garoppolo.
Andre, why'd you bring that up?
I'm just saying.
Dude,
Garoppolo's a stopgap.
Andre, why'd you bring that up? You cannot go out there with Tua as the only option with all these concussed. Like, dude, they got to get somebody. Like, you're right. They got to get somebody. Look, you can't go into the season
but Garoppolo?
If Tua stays healthy.
Please. Hey, so, hey, you be quiet, Gary. Please go get Garoppolo. Do it.
I'm not saying that that's the answer. He's a stopgap, but what I'm saying is you need somebody as you're kind of giving that next guy because they've got a good squad. You saw, like, you know, you don't know what obviously look at what's happening, you know, with, you know, you know who's not the answer. Tyler Thompson ain't the answer. You know, I don't know. I don't know if Gardner Minshew's the answer, but I'm saying somebody's the answer.
If you can't get Garoppolo, get Derek Carr.
Teddy Bridgewater's not the answer.
Get Derek Carr.
Oh, my God.
Let Derek Carr go to New York and let Garoppolo go to Miami.
Carr's not bad.
Oh, yeah,
Carr's
not
bad.
Stop that shit.
You need somebody familiar with the system.
Right, because
you need somebody
familiar
with the system.
Concussion in week three, like, dude, his career might be over right then. Like, you can't roll out there with just him next year. You can't.
You know who else's career is over? Jimmy Garoppolo.
Thank you. I mean, I'm just saying, here's the shit, JQ. I'm saying you need somebody as the kind of, like, transition. No one's like saying Jimmy Garoppolo is the man. I'm just saying, just keep an eye on that because he can still swing. That dude is terrible.
I'm keeping an eye on him. I'm hoping for it.
I mean,
wishing and praying. I'm keeping an eye on him.
Is he going to be? He can still be a solid quarterback. He's not going to be in a Hall of Fame or anything like that. But he can be a stopgap for sure.
Yeah, a place like Miami is one of the places
he
can
succeed. He's going to stop got basically
all your – yeah, I mean, dude, Waddle and Hill, like, they kind of supersede quarterbacks. You saw Bridgewater, and that was Skylar Thompson out there. Like, you don't have to be great down there, man.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be 9-8.
You got a running game. You got a defense.
I love it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I would have picked 9-8 this year. We'd have won the division.
Oh, my God.
That's a different conversation.
He's right, too. Andy Effin Dalton.
We
right,
were 7-10. Hey, I would have picked 9-8.
And he beat us.
After watching Tyreek and Jalen Waddle in that system, I still don't know if Tua is good. I'm sorry.
That's the question, man. We don't know if he's the guy, man. And he's still, you know, the concussions, man. So they had quarterback away, man. You saw that. You know, Teddy Bridgewater's not the answer. Skylar Thompson, he's not the answer. I mean, I'm just saying. They got to get something. But anyway, I digress. I didn't mean to get
like
that.
Tom Payton going
what
to win.
Dre, before you shut us down. Stop saying that out loud.
That's probably going
to
happen.
Do the Buffalo Bills. Right, man. Sean Payton can write the check for anything. Man, he got everything laid out in front of him, wherever he wants to go. But, dude, do the Buffalo Bills have to revisit their team as being kind of too finesse and kind of make some changes? Do the Buffalo Bills have to reload?
That's what
they
can't run the football.
Yeah, they can't
run. I hope they keep doing the same exact shit. Keep doing the same thing, baby.
They can't run the football. Buffalo can't run the football and he rush the passer without Von Miller. And, hey, I said it on the show last week. I said, I think Buffalo's a flawed team. I mean, I didn't put them as one of the five teams that's not a good playoff team, but they are a flawed team. They can't run the football. They couldn't rush the passer, and they couldn't stop the run. So they are a flawed team. They go as far as Josh Allen takes them and Stephon Diggs, et cetera. They got a good secondary.
He got mad.
But they can't get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
Double down.
Tom Moore, Josh Allen, I love it. 707 team. They're a finesse team.
Yes. Yep. I hope I do the same thing.
Hey,
I like it.
Even the greatest show on turf were the Rams, man. They had Marshall Faulk. The Rams were able to run the football, and the Bills can't do that. They can't. I know they're trying. They drafted the kid from Georgia and Cook. Devin Singletary to me is a good third down back catching the ball out of the backfield, but he's not a great runner from the running back position. They need to really figure out a way to be able. They need to hire a new run game coordinator. They need to improve the offensive line. They need a running back.
Yes, they do.
And
they need the same shit next year.
Run it back.
But dude, that's the beautiful thing about football. You bring in these analytics geniuses, and you bring in all these people. You design all these pretty plays. You do all this stuff. But if their guy is tougher than you and he's willing to hit you in the mouth, none of that matters. None of it matters.
Remember, I'm going to go back. This is why we talk about matchups, and we're going to leave it at this. Remember the Buffalo Bills of old? They had amazing offenses, and this is like the Jim Kelly days. They had Andre Reed.
Right.
You had, you know, Thurman Thomas, man. You had just a great – you had freaking Bruce Smith. I mean, and those are some great teams, you know. So they put too much right now on Josh Allen. I agree with what Rob said. And I agree with you, Nas. I mean, if they can figure out how to run the damn ball, they can take some pressure off the defense. They're not to put everything on Josh Allen. They need to – and, you know, you're in the snow. If they kind of take the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands, it's a different game. You know what I'm saying? They were trying to play right into what the Bengals were doing. You know, they didn't run the ball. They couldn't sustain it. And what's happened? You got, like, freaking Jamar Chase. Boom. I'm gonna keep scoring you. They couldn't stop it. So they are a finesse team. They need to be a physical team. That's something that has to change for sure.
Yeah.
Do not run that.
And I know their coach, Sean McDermott, he wants them to be a physical team too. And but right now, they just don't have the personnel to do so. And
right.
And you got to question their front office and what are they doing to not fill in those pieces for 2-3 years in a row. They've been knocking on that door for like 3 years in a row now, and they haven't been able to knock that door down because they're not winning in the trenches, and they can't run the football.
There it is. Mm-hmm. All right, gentlemen, what a great show. Again, get some rest. I know we were hyped up. I'm going to try to get some sleep here. I don't know how I'm going to do that after this amazing show, but we got to do that, man. Nah, I just appreciate you calling in as all the time. Thank you for calling in. Call in anytime. We were trying to be a support system for Gary, but it clearly went a whole other different direction. So it turned to a hype party slightly for JQ here, but it's all good.
Wait, no, it didn't.
No, it didn't. I won't be a part of that.
He, 100% he would not be a part of that. I was like, no, it did not.
Next week, Jake, you're going to spend a whole hour talking about the Bengals. Watch, we'll see.
It depends on what happens.
Yep. If they don't win, he might put 1 to 2 minute comment. He's ready to move on to the next topic.
Yep.
Good game.
Hey, I'm a show up at 11:18.
Free money for everybody on the call and all the listeners. Samaje P. Ryan receiving yards, free prop bet for you. I'm just giving it away. Take that. It's easy money. He might hit it in the first.
Nice.
All right.
Gosh, Dodge is lying, man. We got to look for Dodge.
Good 1-2 punch.
All right, gentlemen.
We got a running back.
Rob,
mm-hmm.
Take your Christmas tree down. I'm tired of looking at it.
No. Wait, you know what? If you look at that Christmas
tree. You're just
tree,
early for next year?
No, it's decorated for Mardi Gras. You see the purple, gold, and green? It's a Mardi Gras
tree. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Well, I'll give you that then.
But let me tell you a story on that Christmas tree. Have y'all bought a Christmas tree lately?
Fuck no, it costs too much money.
Man, that flock tree cost almost $400. I told my wife, we leave that stuff up to next week.
I'm done.
Well, leave the gold. It's got gold on it now. Leave the gold on it because it'll go with the brown needles for next year.
No, see, that's decorated. That sucker is decorated for Mardi Gras right now. That sucker's going to be dressed up for Easter after Mardi Gras. So we're going to dress up. The sucker's going to be decorated for the 4th of July.
He said he'd be
over $400, man.
Don't you guys have trees? Don't you guys have trees there? I know you do, Rob.
I'm done. I'm out on that one. I have nothing else.
There's a Christmas tree set. There's a Christmas tree set.
That tree coming down, man. We're going to redecorate that sucker all year.
Oh my goodness.
Just take one of those small little hand chainsaws and go over to your neighbor's yard.
Oh my goodness.
Gentlemen,
I'm out.
Been fun. I'm out. I'm out.
Peace, gentlemen.
I can't. Mm-hmm.
Good night.